Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Joining us now, Teron Davenport. TD, I want to get all your thoughts on the game last night, the Chiefs, the Eagles, but I got to start here because we are all perplexed about Todd Downing's new landing spot. He was just hired as the Jets passing game coordinator. Why do you think the Jets made that move?
Well, you know, whether you choose to believe it or not, he may not be the best play caller, but a lot of his play design was actually pretty good. So I think you have him in that situation to help out with the play design and, you know, not calling the plays, but to bring things to the table. I don't think it's a bad hiring at all. I know, again, that he had his struggles calling the plays here, but, you know, a lot of the times there were things that were set up really well, but it just wasn't properly executed.
TD is with us. Your thoughts on the game last night? There's so many storylines. Jalen Hurts absolutely balling out. Patrick Mahomes coming back in the second half. Looks like a different team offensively. Your takeaways from the Super Bowl last night?
Yeah, I mean, they scored 24 points in the second half, man. What can you say about what they were able to do? Patrick Mahomes ended the first half with, what, 126 passing yards? But my takeaway from this is it's time to stop questioning whether or not Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback. That's my takeaway, because he literally showed the way he will kill you in three different ways, right? He is the ultimate triple threat, right? Because he'll run the ball. He had three rushing touchdowns, which was the most by a quarterback in the Super Bowl. He had 60-plus rushing yards. But then you look at the dimes that he was dropping as far as throwing the football, but then he got the mental part of it. Unforced error, right, with the fumble. Nick Bolton picked it up and returned it for a touchdown, but then he came back the very next drive, led them to a score. And then the Chiefs took the lead late, and he came back and led them to another touchdown. So, for me, that's my takeaway. Don't doubt Jalen Hurts. He's a quarterback, and he's one of the best out there. And don't give me that, you know, Justin Herbert is better and all that other stuff. Jalen Hurts is an elite quarterback, top five, and there's no question about it.
We're talking with TD. Teron. and you're right, because Caroline and I had the discussion this morning, and I said he was more so trending toward an elite quarterback. But I wanted to make a point to everybody. Listen, he has the unique thing about him is this. He goes to Alabama and he learns how to be a winner, just pure winner and a leader. He learns how to be that. Then he leaves Alabama, and we understand why, because they had Tua, and Tua was the next best thing. And listen, they won a championship with him. But Jalen was a part of that because of what he did in the SEC championship game, coming in and spelling Tua and winning that game for them. But he learned how to be a winner and a leader with Alabama, but he learned how to be a passer when he went to Oklahoma. Yes. And you just saw it sort of materialize over last season and this season. I think we're so quick sometimes to anoint certain guys as elite, but then other guys, we got to, well, wait till he does this. Wait till he do this. Well, anybody can, you know, take that offense and win a Super Bowl or get to the Super Bowl with that offense. Not necessarily, because they can't do all the things that Jalen can do within that offense. They probably can pass, but they can't run. They probably can run, but they can't pass. They probably can run and pass, but they're not a leader like he is, and that's what he's shown.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that Dan Orlovsky said the other day. It was Dan Orlovsky. He said that no one is asked on a play-by-play basis to have more decision-making than Jalen Hurts. And you look at how that offense is orchestrated, there's typically three to four immediate, almost like first reads that you got to make. And he just does it so smoothly, whether it's, you know, the read option, RPOs, and those different things. And I think you're right. and that's where he kills them with the mind, and that's a very underrated aspect that he brings to the table.
Now, another thing that I found interesting in this, not necessarily in the game, but after the game, and I don't know if many people picked it up. I texted the team after it was said. Andy Reid went out of his way to make sure Eric Bieniemy's name was said before anything else, because as he's coming up and they're interviewing him and he's talking about how good, but he mentioned, hey, Eric Bieniemy. I think that was done for a specific reason, whether it was, you know, line him up, set him up perfectly for when Andy chooses to retire so he can be the head coach, or it helps him when he wants to go further, if he wants to go to another team to be an OC or a head coach.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's just interesting to me how Eric Bieniemy, he almost has to go someplace else to prove himself. That's what they're saying, you know, when you see him connected to all these different offensive coordinator jobs. But ironically, Matt Nagy didn't have to do it. Doug Peterson didn't have to do it. The whole, hey, not calling plays, that didn't come into the mix when you were talking about those guys. But suddenly for Eric Bieniemy, it does. And I think it's a crime that he's not even, you know, being considered for these head coaching jobs. I mean, he's someone that should have been the first option. You know, you got Mike Kafka in the running for a couple of head coaching jobs, and that was the quarterback's coach under Eric Bieniemy, and then the OC with the Giants. And last time I checked, the Giants weren't lighting the world on fire. So, yeah, I love that Andy Reid is pushing Eric Bieniemy as a, you know, a guy. And then you look, so this is another thing, D-Mates, that I really picked up that I like. Those two touchdowns that they scored with Sky Moore and also with Kadarius Toney, that was found by Eric Bieniemy. He went back in his film study and he watched earlier in the year where the Jaguars had played the Eagles and they had Jamal Agnew in motion like that. And he saw how they bumped their coverage over top. And he said, oh, wait, you know what? If we use the yo-yo motion like this, that guy's going to be wide open because they're overcompensating for the jet sweep. And here, lo and behold, 14 points of that 38 that they scored came right from his brain. That's head coaching material, if you ask me.
The play design that they score on, where they score as easily as they do sometimes, it has you going, wow, that is true genius. Putting the right guys in the right spot. You know, the one, I guess, wide open, like nobody near him. That's so interesting, that close to the goal line. Teron Davenport is with us. Teron, another thing, and it was funny. There was a lot of wisecracks with the groups. I was with two different groups, one for each half, but they all kept saying the same thing. It's just like the knife is twisting. We're watching A.J. Brown. He does things that so few other receivers can do, the special skill set that he has, and it just stings a little bit more probably for because most of the people I was watching with were Titans fans, and you're like, man. Like the further you get removed from it, the more it hurts a little bit.
Yeah, it does hurt for Titans fans, you know, seeing a guy out there making plays the way that he was. That touchdown that he scored was beautiful, you know, ran right through that attempt at contact.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Warded him off and the late hands. I mean, it was really great to see, and that was a perfect drop shot by Jalen Hurts.
So, Teron, what should we be looking for now? I know there's some guys, looks like, you know, the Colts are going to have their new guys. What is next on the agenda here as you look at the Titans' way? Now that things settle down, we start looking closer and closer to free agency. What are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, well, we got the combine in a couple months. A couple weeks. That's obviously something to look at. But I think really the first things first is watching what teams are going to do as far as salary cap situations are concerned. That's when you'll have the immediate decisions, right, where you'll see, you know, how this Titans team is going to go about Bud Dupree, Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Ryan Tannehill, you know, and that's when we'll see Rand Carthon's plan really start to come to fruition. So that's what I'm watching, just the jockeying and positioning to be able to sign players when the league year starts on March 15th.
Do we think John Robinson will have a new gig sometime in the next few months? Do you think he'll latch on with somebody? Or any way to gauge that right now?
Not really any way to gauge it. You're not hearing his name connected to anything, but I do think he'll have a job at some point. A lot of times with these GMs, right, you know, they tend to just kind of lay low and then they'll come on as a, you know, VP of player personnel or some type of role like that, you know, a year or so later. I mean, you look at Trent Baalke, that's what he did with San Francisco, you know, going to Jacksonville. But then you have some guys like Rick Smith, who has just been out of the league for whatever reason. Jerry Reese, you know, just out of the league despite doing excellent jobs putting together a roster.
TD is with us. TD, I know the Colts are expected to hire Shane Steichen as their next head coach, and that has been a head coaching process that has been so incredibly long and drawn out. But what do you know about Shane Steichen, and what do you make of that hire in Indianapolis?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting because he was there. I believe it was a QB coach there with the Colts, and he's the OC with the Eagles. If I'm not mistaken, Nick Sirianni was calling the plays. So, ironically, another case of a guy that doesn't get the not calling the plays moniker placed on him while it's placed on Bieniemy. But I know that he's really good working with quarterbacks, and that's, you know, something that they're going to really have to have, right, because they're going to use a high pick on a quarterback, whether it's, you know, one, two, three, or four, wherever they end up picking. So that's what I know. He's a guy that is looked at as a quote-unquote QB whisperer. So we'll see how that works out if they do go about hiring him.
Now, TD, there's been rumblings about the Titans inquiring about the Chicago's number one pick. Do you think it was necessarily about the number one pick or where Chicago will ultimately land? Because I think Chicago trades out of that pick, but they still will be a top 10 pick. If the Titans can talk to them about potentially moving up after they make that first move out of number one, whether it's from number one to number five and number one to number four, then the Titans, you know, sort of get in a conversation with Chicago again, like, hey, listen, this is what we're offering to move up to maybe the fifth spot, and you move down to the 11th.
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where you have to make the call, right, just to get a gauge on what it would cost to move up there. And I think you have to know that in case you end up falling in love with a C.J. Stroud, with a Bryce Young. And a lot of times, you know, with these quarterbacks, it's the meeting, right? You can look and watch that they can play, but it's the meeting. And like, wow, this guy has that moxie. And that's one of the things that, you know, for me, talking to Jalen Hurts that year that he was drafted, I was like, man, this dude, he's legit, man. And you could just tell he's someone that would get in the huddle and 10 other guys are going to follow him. So I think that's really what they're doing, is positioning themselves in case that is something that they end up doing.
And last one for you, TD. I mean, the Chiefs have been to three of the last four Super Bowls. They've won two of the three. Are we seeing the next great dynasty in the NFL, or do we need to cool it with the D word?
Yeah, I think the dynasty word is something that you can't really throw out there now because free agency is crazy. You got such turnover. And, you know, fortunately for them, they're able to maintain the Eric Bieniemy situation. It helps the Chiefs because he's back year after year after year because he's constantly overlooked. So, I mean, this is probably the closest you could get to a dynasty. This is a team, you know, they've been to three Super Bowls in the last, what, 5 years? And we know, hey, look, you want to go to the Super Bowl, going out of the AFC, you're going to have to find a way to beat the Chiefs. And that's really what it boils down to. And Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league. I don't want to hear that nonsense about Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, or anyone else, and especially not Justin Herbert. It's Patrick Mahomes and then a group of other people, period. And in my opinion, he's a top five quarterback of all time. And as long as you have that, you got a good chance. So, yeah, I'm not going to say dynasty, but they're in great shape.
TD, we appreciate you for joining us. What can we look forward to on Talking with TD this week?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sure exactly what we're going to do on Talking with TD this week. I mean, we may get into some draft talk. I don't know what we're going to do, but, hey, you can look forward to a fun and entertaining show, that's for sure.
No matter what it is, I know it's going to be a good one. Appreciate you, TD. We'll chat with you next week.
For sure. Take care.
All right, hey, moving is no fun and can be expensive, so you can save on your next move with our Nashville's Best Deal of the Week from Black Tie Moving. Get $200 off a half-day move for just $75 or $400 off of a full-day move for $150 at thegamenashville.com/deals. Caroline Whitley, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, the game in the game Nashville app. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue starting at 6 p.m. See your Predators star players up close and personal, plus you can get autographs and pictures. Preds player guests this Wednesday will be Alexander Carrier and Jeremy Lozon. Smashville Live is brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, and Superbook Sports. I want to touch on something that we talked about with AJ, because with TD, uh-huh. About AJ, I know yesterday there was some salt in the wound with some Titans fans. I saw it all over Twitter, on Titans Twitter, right after AJ had that just chef's kiss, beautiful catch, mm-hmm. set up for a touchdown. I know that some Titans fans just felt like, oh, God, what a gut punch. And it doesn't change anything with if AJ had a great catch or if AJ had a great game. It doesn't change anything, but it just makes it so much worse. But we have to get to a certain point where we stop crying about AJ. We have to get to that point. I mean, the general manager paid for it. He no longer has a job. You have to move forward. But that's the next question is, where do you go from there? You have to fill that hole that you created when you traded A.J. Brown. I was for it, and that still haunts me to this day. But you have to move on from it. Titans fans have to move on from it. You have to fill that hole somehow. So what comes next?
Yeah, you got to move. You got to get over it. Move on. You know, I'm sure that, you know, watching A.J. in the Super Bowl and him playing well in a Super Bowl, you know, just was like gut-wrenching for Titan fans. And I get it. I understand it. But he's not coming back. Move on. It's like now you have to, you know, love the guys that are here and hope that, you know, a guy like Treylon Burks is able to stay on the field. Because when he's on the field, the kid can flat-out play. Mm-hmm. He's shown he can play. But it's keeping him on the field is going to be – hopefully it won't be an issue this year. He dealt with it last year a lot. So I think they are in good hands with Treylon. But they're going to have to go out and get another receiver. They're just going to have to. And I know T. Higgins' name is floating out there because he may want too much money for Cincinnati. And we all know Cincinnati, you know, based upon their history, they don't like shelling out a lot of money.
And they got a big old payday coming up.
They got a big old payday coming down the road. And even with Jamar Chase, they got a big payday coming down the road with him. So they may not be able to keep him. They may opt to allow him to, you know, trade him away and then, you know, get a receiver in the draft, a young receiver, because they figure as long as we got Jamar Chase and Burrow, we'll be good. And you just add another young receiver in there. Now we don't have to pay him until another 3 years. And I think if that's indeed the case, then the Titans should do what they need to do to try to bring him in as your number one receiver. Because what I saw from him, minus Jamar Chase, when they played here, even more solidified to me that he's a number one guy. I've always liked T. Higgins, even when he was in Clemson. I thought he was a hell of a talent. Mm-hmm. But he's showing you that, listen, I know it's all about Jamar Chase, and rightfully so, but I am a number one receiver in this league, and he's going to get paid like a number one receiver. So the Titans, open that damn checkbook. Open it. Because unless you open it, you're not going to become a good team no time soon. It's going to take you time. But you got to bring in the players that can help expedite, you know, what you're going through now. Philly did it. The Rams did it. You see teams across the board. They're making those big splashes. They have to. It's an arms race in this league. You know, you got to get the players in order to win the games, in order to get to the Super Bowl. We've seen two teams do it the last 2 years. The Titans need to do it this year.
Now that the season's over, I do think that is the number one thing to look for is what is the honest assessment of the roster? What is the best way to get back up to a position where you feel like you can win it? You know, how much are they going to spend for the now? How much of it is hang on to all your draft picks? You know, what about Jeffrey Simmons? There's so many tough decisions to make. But in the moving on from A.J. Brown, I think the fact that Rand Carthon is running the show should help the team move on from that. From the fans, I don't know that they'll ever move on until the team wins big or until at least Treylon Burks turns into a really good wide receiver. Hopefully he will continue to grow and get better. But I look over here, every time Ryan Suter comes through those doors, he still gets booed. And this has been, it's been 12, 10 years since he's played here. It's unbelievable. I just don't think the fans will move on, even though, you know, we'll tell them to move on. We tell them everything. Isn't it time to stop Brian, booing Ryan Suter? Because it's been a long time. The team actually probably ended up being better, faster, having lost Ryan Suter. Like, it may not have been the best thing if he had stayed here. But every franchise has got those things. But that is one that I think just – and we knew the minute they did that, this could go a number of different ways. This could come back to haunt you. And, man, he looked great on the biggest stage yesterday.
He did.
He's a special player.
You know what? Good for him. AJ is a special player. Mm-hmm. AJ is able to do things that not a lot of other players in this league are able to do. And that's exactly why he got the payday that he did from the Eagles. Honestly, good for AJ Brown. And in terms of the scorekeeping and the still feeling bitter about it, I think Titans fans feel that way because they're losing. You know, because AJ was the one playing in the Super Bowl yesterday, and the Titans are the team that didn't make the playoffs. It hurts a whole lot worse when your ex is doing just fine without you.
I had some fun Eagles fans just at the Flyers game at the dinner the night before. Hey, thanks for AJ Brown. Oh, you're from Nashville? Oh, AJ Brown.
They were
rubbing it. It's like, okay, all right.
Enjoy your victory lap. But it's a fair assessment. And I think that if and when Titans get to that point where they have one of the best receiving corps in the league, where the Titans are consistently making the playoffs and going on a Super Bowl run, then it'll be like, oh, yeah, remember when we traded A.J. Brown? That was a bad trade, and they're not even going to care about it anymore. But as long as the scoreboard is shifted into A.J. Brown's favor, fans are going to feel very salty about it. But I'll ask you both this question, and I'll do it on the other side. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline Riley Dimes, 1025-1063 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 1025-1063 The Game and The Game Nashville app. And look, I know it's hard. I know it is hard to move on from your ex, but at some point you're just going to have to move on from A.J. Brown. But seeing A.J. make that just beautiful catch yesterday, I know that it hurt. I know that that stung for Titans fans. But how you get over it is you start to even the score. Right now, A.J.'s winning. The score is in AJ's favor. AJ played in the Super Bowl, and you, in fact, did not. But how do you even the score? You fill the hole, and you improve at that position that you created when you traded AJ Brown. So I tease this. I wanted to ask you both a question. Would you be willing to deal the 11th overall pick for T. Higgins?
The 11th, no. I wouldn't deal the 11th overall pick, especially not this year. But I would give up some picks. You would probably have to give up a second round, possibly even 2 second rounds to get him.
What if Cincinnati says first or bust?
I wouldn't give up my first round this year.
Next year?
I would think about next year giving up my first, and you'll probably end up having to give up a first and a second or a first and a third, more like a first and a third for him. But I wouldn't give up the 11th pick because I'm still thinking that – and that's why I asked TD that question about Chicago. I don't think it's necessarily I wouldn't inquire about the number one pick, but I would inquire about, hey, listen, would you still be willing to deal once you've made that pick, once you made that move out of number one? Mm-hmm. Because Chicago, in making that move, I think they're still going to stay in a top five, top six pick. If that is indeed the case, then it'd be cheaper now for the Titans to try to deal from a space of 11 and 6 than 11 and 1. Mm-hmm. So I'm still talking to the Chicago Bears about potentially moving up to the second place they're going to be, their second landing spot as far as in the draft. But I would seriously, be willing to give up probably next year's first, because we all assume this team will be better next year. So they won't be picking high.
Yeah.
It'd be in the 20s, somewhere around there, low 20s.
And if I'm Cincinnati, I have to keep that in mind also.
Exactly.
You know,
so
are you going to be significantly better next year? Are we going to be actually paying for that?
Yeah. But they're going to get a lot. I mean, I think they're going to – if you say I'm giving you my first next year and my third next year, then I think that's you can operate from that space of, okay, now we got a baseline of what you would give up. Now, it may take a little bit more, may take a player or, you know, a future pick down the line. But I think a one and a three, one next year in your three, I think that would be a good move by the Titans, I believe.
You know, because he's such a known commodity, I think you'd have to consider that. And I don't think it would just be straight up for a first-round pick. I think you'd probably have to throw something else in there to get it. He's really good. Now, he's very different than A.J. Brown, right? He runs different kind of routes. Mm-hmm. He's not that catch on the slant. You know, A.J. Brown's so unique. But he does some tremendous things, T. Higgins. Yeah, like I think he's a legit talent. He does benefit from having the other guys in that offense. So that would be a main question, right, for your scouts, your talent evaluators, for Rand Carthon in particular. What does he look like as a Titan? How does he complement Derrick Henry? How does he complement Treylon Burks on the other side? How does he fit with the scheme that we want to run? That's a huge thing. If you're going to give up that much, you know, because as we've seen, you can go through history and find a lot of players that flourished in one system, really talented, and then they get to a new team, new system, and they have trouble replicating that. Now, there's also a scenario where he, as the main man, could be better than he was. Like, we saw him here at this stadium at Nissan when Ja'Marr Chase was out, and he was still the difference in the game. He made the big catches late in the game to win a very, very close game against the Titans.
But
so
I think
he could do it.
I think you also got to look at it from this standpoint. It's not just about T. Higgins and what he can do for this team. It's about elevating Treylon Burks because now you get T. Higgins, who's a bona fide number one. That allows Treylon Burks to get a lot of one-on-one coverage. He's learning even more. Now he has a veteran guy to look at to understand how you play in this league, what you need to do. So not only will it help, not only will you have a legitimate number one in T. Higgins, but it helps your other guy in Treylon Burks. It helps him get one-on-one coverage. Now they don't know who to cover. I think that's what made A.J. so good so quickly because he had Corey Davis on the other side. You want to double team A.J., you can, but Corey Davis was going to get some catches. He was going to make you pay. Now you got to figure out, okay, which one of these guys do we try to take out the game? Well, we just got to play it honest now because if we try to take one out, then you got Jonnu Smith, then you got this. So if you bring a T. Higgins in, you already got Austin Hooper, you already have Chika Conkle. Now it makes Treylon's job a little bit more easier because he doesn't have to be the number one. He can go out there and play.
Which is exactly why I would seriously consider it. I would do it. If the Titans did ultimately decide to trade the 11th overall pick for T. Higgins, I would be totally fine with it. You mentioned he's not A.J. Brown, and I think that's good. Because in theory, the Titans traded A.J. Brown to draft A.J. Brown. And although the production wasn't the same from Treylon Burks and A.J. Brown in his rookie season, they got the, you know, the big bodied bully up on defenders kind of receiver, not necessarily a burner, that's not what their job is, but just a big bodied receiver. T. Higgins would be the complement to that because he is kind of more of your burner guy, more of your, you know, your route running kind of receiver to complement Treylon Burks. And I think too, you're getting a veteran receiver, a proven receiver. But he's still young.
He's still in his rookie deal. Mid-20s, mid-26, 27, somewhere around there.
And he was that's why the ironic thing about 20? It, too, is the market changed because of what A.J. Brown did. And the kid from Washington, from Ohio State.
Terry McLaurin. Christian Kirk, even.
Kirk. So you may end up paying T. Higgins even more than you want to. And it was money that you were going to have to spend on A.J. Brown. You're sort of making up for a pass mistake. So you got to make all the numbers work. Like, how does this affect your overall salary cap? Because, you know, from a personnel standpoint, it makes sense. But when you think about the big price tag, it's going to be to sign him to the next deal. What does that cost you another player here or there? I know the cap is going up. And it comes back to the central question. How quick are you trying to reload? Or how quick do you think you can get back up in there and contend with the Kansas Cities and with the Bengals and teams like that?
But you can't be – I don't think the Titans can be scared to spend money just because it's going to be a huge amount. In order to win this league, you got to spend money at some position. You just have to. You can't sit around and pay everybody league minimum. There's going to have to be a few guys on your team that you're paying top-tier money to. And one of them is your running back. You're paying your quarterback a lot of money. You're going to have to pay your defensive tackle a lot of money. Why not pay? Because you understand where this league is at. Mm-hmm. It's a passing league. I know what Rand Carthon said. I get it. I understand it. But this is it was on display this weekend. This is a passing league. You need a quarterback. You need receivers. If you got an opportunity to go get a guy that is proven that he's a bona fide number one, then you have to go – you have to kick the tires on him. You have to at least see how much will it cost to bring a guy like that. Because if you draft a guy in the first round, which I don't think you're going to draft a receiver in the first round, but let's say you did. You draft a receiver. Now you got a rookie and you got a rookie-ish player on your squad. You got two receivers that have combined probably 10 games played in the NFL with no experience. I don't want to have that. I get it. They're young, but I don't want to have that. I want a veteran guy that has proven he can be a number one in this league, which T. Higgins has. You got Treylon Burks. You allow Treylon Burks to grow within his offense, but knowing that T. Higgins is my number one guy, and this guy, Treylon Burks, is going to benefit from T. Higgins.
And if that's a move you make, you have to be willing to dish out the big contract to T. Higgins, because you'll acquire that the rookie deal, and it's like $3-4 million a year. It's nothing outrageous, but understanding that T. Higgins wants to get paid. T. Higgins wants that contract, and honestly, he deserves that contract. So that's what you have to understand and what you're getting yourself into. But to your point, D-Mace, you can't just keep acquiring, older free agents or trading for older players and paying them $13, $14, $15 million. You did that with Robert Woods, and you didn't get much return from him.
You did it with Julio Jones.
And you did it with Julio Jones. Didn't get anything from Julio Jones. You did it with Robert Woods. You didn't get much return from that. I understand that the big payday for a receiver might hurt a little bit. You might have to do, some rearranging of contracts here and there.
But that's what it costs for number one.
That's what it costs, and that's what you have to do. The Titans saw how difficult it was when you wanted to trade away your number one and try and, fill those things on the cheap. You get those results. Mm-hmm. So that's what you have to do. You have to be willing to pay the top players if you want to compete with the top teams in the league.
Well, listen, you get sometimes what you pay for. If you want to pay a guy that's coming in, and it's like getting a car and, it just had, all this stuff done to it and everything else. And, it's not a new car, it's an old car, but you had to redo this and redo that. And you purchased it for, a couple thousand dollars. Well, when you get it, you can't complain. You know exactly what you're getting. You're getting a car that used to be new, that has been broke down, that they've tried to fix, and now they're selling it to you. So when you get it and you paid X amount of dollars, well, you're going to get what you paid for. If you paid $1,000, you're going to get $1,000 worth of rides. That's what you're going to get before it breaks down again.
When you get a car with chronic hamstring issues.
That's what's going to happen. You're going to have –
It's called a lemon.
Exactly. You'll be driving to work one day, and your car just going to stop in the middle of the freeway. That's what's going to happen. So if you want something that's going to be consistent and it's going to be there for you all the time, then you need to pay for it.
I'm so for it. I am so for the Titans trading the 11th overall pick for T. Higgins. And if the Titans don't do it, it's not like it's that or bust. If you find a tackle in this year's draft that you think is your tackle of the future, go for it.
But they need a number one. They need another receiver.
They need another receiver. Yeah. They need to give Treylon Burks some help. They need to give whoever is quarterbacking this team in 2023 some help. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We discuss the Titans building up this team for the future, what this team can be in the future. What does Vegas think the Titans are going to be in the near future? We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, be caller 3 now to win a pair of tickets to see the Nashville Predators take on the Pittsburgh Penguins at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, February 28th. That is caller 3 now. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. line. Willie, D-Maze, 1025, 1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Out here at Pete and Terry's ahead of the Predators matchup with the Arizona Coyotes tonight. PK Subban night at Bridgestone, so make sure to get here early so you can watch the Predators honor PK Subban tonight. So I was kind of poking around after the Super Bowl, and I know that there are always, after any championship, after the Stanley Cup Final, after the College Football National Championship, after the Super Bowl, after the World Series, there's always, almost instantly, okay, look ahead to next season. What comes up next? Who's going to be favored for next season? Who's going to be the clunker for next season? And very rarely does it always come to fruition. There are so many changes that happen in the offseason. There are trades, acquisitions, the draft. You know, you never know who's going to get hired and fired. So many things change from that, the final second of the clock at the Super Bowl, the national championship, whatever it might be, and then the kickoff of the next season. So many things can change. But it's always interesting to see just a barometer of where everyone's minds are at the conclusion of a season in anticipation for the next season, because I'm already depressed that football's over, so I'm just going to go ahead and look ahead to the 2024 season. So I looked at one sports book. We don't give free shout-outs here on the show. I looked at one sports book to see what the odds were for the Super Bowl next season. And, of course, as you can imagine, the Chiefs have the best odds. The Bills are up there. The Bengals, the Eagles, the Niners, the Cowboys. You know, the teams that were
Cowboys
in the conversation.
Again?
Well, it's the Cowboys, you know. And they're always going to be up there. But, you know, the teams that you would expect, all the teams that were in the conversation this year, the teams that you would expect to probably be back next year. But I was really looking to see where the Titans ended up. And so I'm scrolling, and I see the Jags with the same odds as the Packers at plus 2,500 odds. I'm scrolling.
The Jeopardy movie music started to play.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, oh my God, did they forget about the Titans? Surely they're not that low. I see the Browns, the Broncos, the Saints, teams that don't have quarterbacks, plus 3,500 odds. I see the Panthers at plus 5,500. And then I land on the Titans, who have the sixth worst odds to win the Super Bowl in 2023 at plus 7,000. The Bears have better odds than the Titans, and the Bears were the worst team in the NFL. Only the Falcons, Bucks, Cardinals, Texans, and Colts, the teams that don't have quarterbacks, have worse odds than the Titans to win the Super Bowl in 2023. I know so many things change, but I didn't expect the Titans to have good odds. I didn't expect it to be that bad.
It's so interesting. You know, you hear, you know, we have Alan Bell or somebody on, you know, analysts who like to get into the gambling world. They will tell you that the prop bets are the worst bets that you could make, and it is interesting. I wonder what the lure is as they set some of these odds. And I think we could all think back, you know, through the years, there's usually a team that's really bad that gets really good in a hurry.
Jacksonville's odds were very low last year.
Yeah, and Jacksonville didn't sniff winning the Super Bowl, but they had a really good turnaround. That's a good example. Yeah, that was a big, big jump that they made. You know, the year that you guys went to the Super Bowl, the Rams were really bad the year before.
Massive jump
from 1 year to the next. I'd love to know what their odds were, especially after Trent Green got hurt. Remember, nobody had heard of Kurt Warner. Trent Green got hurt. You're like, oh man, going to be a rough year for Dick Vermeil. And then the next thing you know, they're the greatest show on turf.
Yep.
About 4 weeks later, you're like, wow, what happened here? So this league has those kind of things. But, you know, I do think it's, if you're trying to be smart about it, what these rosters look like now are not going to look similar until after the draft. We're going to see a full turnover of free agency, cap cuts, cap casualties, and then a full draft. That's when you really want to take a look at a roster. But that's why they lure these things out there, right? Somebody's in Vegas right now, or somebody's getting on the phone and go, ooh. I'll put $5 down on a seven. What did you say the Titans were? 7,000.
Plus 7,000.
Plus 7,000. Yeah. Hey.
I put a couple dollars on it. A lot of it is, where is the roster at as we speak? And right now, the Titans roster, they have a lot of holes to fill. They have a lot of uncertainties. We're still talking about Ryan Tannehill not possibly being the starting quarterback going into next season. So with that, and then, you know, just a team that's in certain areas, they're getting older. I think there's this thought of, you know, as we sit now, they are not a team that we look at that will be a serious contender to get into the Super Bowl. I wonder what the odds are for them to win AFC South right now. Only team I can see them behind is
Jacksonville.
And then we can base it on those. We can probably do our own little, you know, hey, they got Jacksonville rated higher than them, and they got Houston and Indianapolis rated here. So where does the Titans fall in there? So okay.
Two of the five teams with worse odds than the Titans to win the Super Bowl are the Texans and the Colts.
Yeah,
you know, they're divisional teams.
Exactly. So that's like, okay, where is their roster at now as we speak? And I think those three teams are Titans, Houston, and Indianapolis. They're sort of in the same boat, you know, from this standpoint. I get it. One team sort of has their quarterback in the Titans, but the other two teams are looking for their quarterback. But those other two teams may have their position solidified elsewhere that the Titans don't, like the offensive line, like the receivers, you know, like the linebackers for the Titans. David Long Jr. is a free agent, so you don't know if he's coming back or not. So every team minus even Jacksonville has their problems. They need to get better from a defensive standpoint on the outside with the corners and the safeties. But even that, I think when you look at the four teams that are in division, I think the Titans, Houston, and Indianapolis have more holes to fill than Jacksonville. Not to say that Jacksonville is going to run away to the division, because I don't think they will, but they just have – they don't have as many holes to fill than those other three teams.
And they absolutely do have so many holes to fill. I mean, we have covered it ad nauseum, and we'll continue to do it throughout the offseason. But I didn't expect it to be this bad, even understanding how many – holes the Titans do
below
have to
the
fill.
Chicago Bears.
Below the Bears. And I think that speaks volumes about the perception nationally of where this Titans team is. And I don't really know if it's necessarily fair. A lot of people say, okay, well, they're a run-first team, and you can't win the NFL doing that. Okay, well, Derrick Henry had the second most rushing yards in the NFL this season. Might say, okay, well, you know, they lost the division this year. Well, they were also incredibly close to beating Jacksonville in that final game of the year and winning the division with Josh Dobbs at quarterback. Let's not forget, this Titans team went to overtime with the Kansas City Chiefs, who just won the Super Bowl last night, with Malik Willis at quarterback. I think there are so many things that are easy to say, oh, the Titans, you know, they're a run-first team, you know, they were awful this year, when really, when you look into it, the Titans were not that far off of where the Jags were, so to speak, this year, of winning the AFC South. And you know, the Titans weren't that far off. The Titans could have beaten Jacksonville with Josh Dobbs at quarterback. So I understand that it's the Titans and the public perception. You're not going to always look into exactly what the specifics are of this team. I just feel like a lot of people are counting out the Titans, and it might not necessarily be very fair.
Whether it's fair or not, I mean, the Titans only have themselves to blame for the situation they're in. And if they are not aggressive this offseason or very strategic in their moves, they're going to find themselves even further back. Because to me, yes, they played Jacksonville close. And, you know, hey, you should have won it, whatever. It doesn't matter because it already happened. Yes, you play Kansas City close. I get all of that. But that was this season. Next season might be a different story. Kansas City might blow you out the next time, or Jacksonville might blow you out the next. We understand. Jacksonville beat them twice. Not once.
Yeah.
But they beat them twice. And they beat them the first time convincingly. Like, they just beat them, flat out beat them.
The John Robinson
game. Yeah, they beat them.
Yeah.
In the second game was close, and it's going to be close because it's a division game, you figure. But moving forward, if they want to stay, you know, in this race with Jacksonville, and I'm only saying Jacksonville because Jacksonville won the division. Mm-hmm. If they want to stay in this race with Jacksonville, they're going to have to make the moves that show not just the fan base, but show the people inside the building that they're in this, you know, to win. It's not a rebuild. We're not rebuilding. We want to win now. You know, so the moves that they make in the offseason must tell everybody in that building, we are winning now. The move to get Ron Carthon was a we want to win now move, okay? So now you got to go out and get the players to say, we want to win now.
But that's a tough
one, too,
because that may not be the smartest move.
Yeah, but you got to at least do it
now.
You got to do it.
Let's say whenever Aaron Rodgers comes out of his darkness cave,
yeah,
that he wants to come to the Titans. The Titans bring in Aaron Rodgers. Those odds probably skyrocket.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, this is totally a quarterback-driven list.
Well,
in
think
odds
about how many quarterbacks are going to have new teams when those odds come out. Like, those odds will change dramatically based on this carousel we know is coming.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Stillman & Company is up next.
Peace.